into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, Oncers, and welcome to the Once Upon a Time After Show for AfterBuzz TV. It's Season 5, Episode 5, Dreamcatcher.
This is a very fitting sound score or soundtrack for
this. It's perfect for the episode. I'm Tiana Hobson, and joining me tonight, I have the lovely as ever, Marissa Serafini.
Hello, Oncers.
Make sure Marissa is in our live YouTube comment section, so make sure you're chatting with her in there. She'll try and give some shout outs to as many people as she can as we talk about this episode.
Yeah. Where can everyone follow you, T?
Oh, you can follow me at the Tiana Hobson on Twitter and let me know what you're thinking because I will have my phone out.
There you go. And you can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. Use the hashtag ABTVOnce.
ABTVOnce. That's the place to be. Okay, so let's get into this episode because, actually, before we do that, I want to get Marissa's thoughts. Like, how did you feel? Because I know last week you weren't very impressed with the episode, and there's a lot of comments about overall feelings. So what are your overall feelings for tonight's episode?
I liked tonight. There were some things I was like, that seemed a little bit too easy. But we did get a lot of Regina, which I love. As per usual, I just have to start off the show like that. We got a lot of questions answered, too.
Yes.
We finally got freaking Merlin.
We finally got Merlin.
How long did that take? Five episodes.
Goodness. 5 hours of your life.
And now we have to get the other dwarf out of the tree.
One down. I agree with you. I thought tonight's episode answered a lot of questions. I actually loved it. A little bit. I thought it was great. I loved the pacing of it. I loved how we got to see flashbacks and current stuff, and it just feels like it's finally setting up the stuff that we really want to know about. So
I think so too.
Speaking of getting questions answered, so let's talk about our flashback stuff first. So the first flashback we see is Merlin right before he gets turned into a tree. And he's talking to the Dark One. Well, the Dark One, he's chasing down the Dark One. He's summoning the Dark One because...
The Rumple Dark One, though?
But I don't think it's the Rumple Dark One because
It's hard to tell. He had the mask on,
and we've never seen Rumple with a mask, so I feel like it's...
Didn't last week we saw Rumple with the mask, and it turned out to be Rumple? There was a Dark One in episode... Maybe it was one, two episodes ago.
Maybe.
There was a Dark One being chased down, and it was Rumple.
I seem to remember that... This mask seemed more familiar to the Dark One that Rumple replaced. Didn't he have a mask? And Rumple kind of didn't know what he looked like until he... Or did I dream this? Because this was back in, like, season one or two that I remember that we saw the flash of when Rumple actually became the Dark One.
Yeah. Let us know, everyone.
Yeah. If you guys could help us out in the chat
room
right
memories.
Now. Anyways, the Dark One, one of them, is summoned. And it turns out that he has... destroyed or killed the only woman that Merlin has loved, and Merlin wants to now kill him, hesitates for a slight moment because he misses her so much.
Nivian yes. is Merlin's, well, I mean, they didn't get in tonight's
episode. I actually Googled this too, Marissa.
See, there you go. Congratulations,
I was like, Merlin had a love? Let me Google this.
Yeah, I had to look it up too because I couldn't remember. It's like, who was Merlin's love? Nivian.
Yes.
Do you think we'll see her?
I
don't think they've cast someone for her.
I don't think they've cast anyone for her yet, but I hope that we do see it. And
that'd be amazing.
I mean, we can get into some more of what I found in that a little bit later because it has to do with Violet. So that's Merlin, or sorry, the Dark One uses Merlin's tear as a spell to turn him into a tree, basically. And then we see that Emma... in Camelot is seeing this through a dreamcatcher. And dreamcatchers have played an important role in this whole show this whole time, and this is the first time we're seeing them used in a dark magic kind of way.
Right, and I like how dreamcatchers are having so many other different characteristics to them. Like the heart, you can see it be used in so many different forms and different ways and situations, and it's kind of like the same thing with dreamcatchers, that they conveniently somehow are being used for different things, and now they're darker properties.
Yeah.
They're dark magic.
Dark magic.
That was more surprising to me, but we know that it was used in, like, Native American traditions and whatnot.
Yeah.
But they put a dark spin on it.
They did put a dark spin on it, which was interesting, especially since it's been here this whole time, and we, as the audience, just thought it was a dream catcher, and that, you know, Neil gave it to Emma, and so that's why it had a special meaning to her. We never thought that they could be used in a dark way, like they are being used tonight. So, in this now Camelot of a couple weeks ago, Emma, Regina's about to go get the dagger with Mary Margaret and, or with Snow and Charming, who we know are under a spell by Arthur. And Regina seems very hesitant about, are you guys sure you trust him? Like, should we actually give him the one thing that can control your daughter?
I love how Regina picked this up because, you know, she's way too smart to be like, hey, we can't just quickly hand this over. Something's up.
Something's up.
She's too smart.
I love that she was suspicious about the whole thing. And then here comes Emma, a.k.a. the new Dark One. And she freezes her mom and dad and are like, yo, Regina.
Yo.
Arthur put a curse on them. They are under his influence now. You can't trust them. Come with me. Let's go free Merlin, because Arthur wants to kill Merlin. And that would be bad for all of us. So let's go get to the bottom of this. And I love this because then the whole episode became all about, like, the Swan Queen mm-hmm. dynamic. And I know that everyone
a lot
out
of people
there
are asking us, what are our thoughts on the Swan Queen tonight?
I thought that,
what did you
think? As always, I thought they were a badass duo who I would kick it with any day.
Always. I'd kick it with any of them.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. It's nice to see Emma still have good intentions. Granted, it is still dark magic, but all the reasons why she's doing, she's like, I'm here to save this, I'm here to do this, and X, Y, and Z to save my parents, you know. There's good intentions behind it. So again, she's not as dark as we think.
But have you noticed that even though she's still wearing white in Camelot, her voice is getting darker.
It's so low.
And like, her voice is getting lower each so episode, low. And it's just, you're seeing the slow transformation of the darkness almost taking over.
Taking form.
Yeah.
I know. I just want to take a peek at her heart to see how dark it is right now. Because we know, once you actually kill someone, it starts becoming dark. Granted, she's doing a lot of dark magic. We've seen her kill one person.
Mm-hmm.
So, after all these weeks of now being consumed by dark magic, how dark is her heart now?
Good question.
Me. Who knows?
We need it like a x-ray. No,
we need a peek at her heart.
Yeah. We need an ultrasound of her heart to try and figure that one out. Well, as the Swan Queen or Queens are working together, they realize that the Dreamcatcher shows the shows the memory. And Regina's like, hey, if a tear of a lost love is what made the curse, then that could be the antidote. So let's go find someone who's heartbroken so we can get a tear.
Right.
So they end
up... Because
it's
not... It's like, there's no broken hearts here in Storybrooke.
They end up realizing that they could use Regina's tears. Or they at least try to use Regina's tears. Because
I love this so much.
You loved it?
No, okay. I love their theory on this and how they think it would work. But when they actually do it and they failed. But I love the reasoning behind it. Hold on. Let me rummage through my notes.
Like, if you're not watching, she's got amazing. Like 10 pages of notes over here. So give her a second.
It was amazing. There was a whole line about, there's Robin. You've moved on. You've healed. And I'm like, oh my God. Outlaw Queen. Her true love is Robin. She feels deeper and more for Robin than she ever did Daniel.
I didn't take it as she ever did for Daniel. I just think that it
she loves that her, Robin more.
No, I took it as she loved Daniel, and in over a lot of many years in time, she's been able to be healed from the loss of Daniel in order to create room to love Robin. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't look at it as who did she love more. Like, you're always going to love your first love. But she also has room. She's healed from that mm-hmm. in order to make room to love another. And that person is Robin. And I'm not taking away from the love that they have whatsoever. I think my boobs are hitting the microphone. Sorry.
Hashtag big boobs. But
I think that's it. Oh, that wasn't even my... Oh,
well,
there we go.
Well, as you're fixing that, I mean, yes, I can see that too. But I took it away that, yes, she is healed. And she has Robin in her life. So she isn't heartbroken anymore. Like, she has another true love. And it's freaking Robin. It's freaking hashtag outlaw queen.
I mean, yes, it is. It's outlaw queen for life. But one thing that happened during Regina rewatching Daniel get killed by her mother, some interesting Ooh. Things happened. First, Emma could see what Regina saw, and Regina seemed taken aback by that. I feel like that's not something that normally would happen, because Regina was like, you saw that?
It's very intrusive. That's very personal for Regina, and then Emma can also
And I feel like because Emma is such a strong, magical person already, mm-hmm. that most people, if you're using the dream catcher, only the person holding it can see. But then I guess that didn't come true, because that's like the end of the episode, Henry was able to see what was in that dream catcher. Yeah, but it was just something off about the way Regina finished watching and said, you could see that. That kind of caught me as maybe there's something going on here.
But, you know, not to jump too far ahead, that actually adds Regina talking to Emma later on in the episode. This is what my mother did to me. Yeah, you saw that. Don't be that person. Don't be like Cora.
Yeah.
You have a choice to go down a different path.
And that was going to be my second part that came out of that was Emma says, I can't believe your mother could do that to you.
Yep.
And then later on in the episode, I think this is called foreshadowing.
Definitely foreshadowing.
Emma does the same exact thing. So Regina's tear does not work because it's not strong enough because she's moved on from Robin. So they have to find someone else's tear. Now, while this is all going on, we have young Henry and Violet.
Aww.
Who Henry is trying to court Violet, and it's the cutest thing.
This is so sweet.
It's the sweetest thing to see 13-year-old Henry. They said his age tonight because I know that
we've been questioning
his age. 13-year-old Henry and 13-year-old Violet. Bond, first of all, because Violet is grooming her horse and she starts talking about how her mom got it for her when she was 7. Her mom died when she was pretty young. So they both are bonding over the loss of a parent and the fact that they can understand each other because there's things that are happening in their lives that they wish they could share with this parent, which I thought was really cute and a great kind of base for them to just show just how similar they are, even though they're from different worlds. Now, insert Violet's father, Sir Morgan, who is not very nice to Henry. He's like, oh, you're one of those people from the other place. What kind of squire? He thinks he's a squire at first. Henry's like, no, I'm a writer. Which is a great thing.
That was.
But back in Camelot times, being a writer versus being a knight.
It's not really on the same level. What do you think of his name, though? Morgan.
Okay, so that's what I was going to say about
Because the producers, you know, Eddie and Adam have said themselves that we won't get a Morgan Le Fay. But somehow we got a character named Morgan.
That's, well, my mind
a little
instantly,
bit too...
Yeah, it instantly went to Morgan Le Fay.
Yeah, and it just seems like knowing that fact beforehand that we weren't expecting to see a Morgan, and then we do see a character named Morgan, just makes me think maybe that was an easy out. Be like, yeah, here's an ode to Morgan. It's not the Morgan you think it is.
There's a lot of kind of odes to a lot of things in this episode.
Yeah. Sir Morgan.
Yeah, Morgan, and then Peter, Pumpkin Eater.
Yeah, totally. I wrote that too.
Yeah. You know, so maybe it was just kind of to give us our fix and move on from there. Maybe he won't play a bigger role, but I feel like he's still gonna be around. He's the dad. She doesn't have a mom.
But, I mean, his character kind of came around, though, too, because not... It was like, yeah. We saw him in one way in Camelot, now a different way in Starbrook.
Yeah. So, Emma and Regina then are on their way in the woods and find Henry out there trying to practice his sword fighting and not doing very well at it, even though, I mean, it's been a couple years since him and his grandpa have practiced with, you know, wooden swords like they used to do.
I did love his moment in the stable when he's trying to, like, be all chivalrous and be a man. And swinging
the sword's
around
too heavy and he falls.
Fantastic.
It's awesome.
He's got a long way to
but
go.
But his moms give him some great advice, and they both said, you know, you're the cool, mysterious guy from a different land. You shouldn't change who you are to get a girl, because both of his moms fell for guys because they were different and because they were themselves the whole time and not because they were trying to be something that they weren't. So with this vote of confidence, Henry invites young Violet on a little date at Granny's, which I thought was going so well. He was doing so good,
and he plays the song again.
Yeah,
yes.
Also, even though they're in Camelot and I know they have Granny's, does Granny still have electricity? Because Henry's phone battery is like the best battery in the world.
I know.
If it's
all
still
of their
working.
Cell phone reception is pretty on point for a show that where they're so technologically deficient. All their technology seems to work in some way.
Yeah, I mean, he was planning for dinner and a movie on his cell phone. The two movie choices he had were Commando and Harold and Maude, which for a 13-year-old boy in 2015 are very interesting film choices.
Yeah, and I mean, Harold and Maude. I mean, who watches Harold and Maude? Especially what, like him.
I know, in 2015, I don't believe that a lot of 13-year-old boys know what Harold and Maude is. I think this is just one of those gems of the writers and creators putting in a little nod to something.
Like, to themselves.
Yeah, to themselves, which I didn't have enough time to research. So if you guys know at home what the significance of these two movies is, please let us know.
Well, I think it's like someone saving a daughter for Commando.
Yeah.
And then another one's, well, Harold the Maude is all about like people who are having fun and obsessed with death. So, I don't know. It feels like two completely demographics, but whatever.
Whatever. And we'll I love that he picks Harold and Maude to watch. Well, that was what they were going to watch until... Yeah. Violet picks up on the cues that he is trying to court her and then shatters his heart by saying that she just wants to be friends.
Aww.
Even back in the Camelot days, they used that excuse on people to get out of dating them.
And you know what? And every time they use it, it still hits you.
It still hits you. I'm like, oh my gosh, that excuse has been around for ages.
Like, he's too young to deal with this. His first heartbreak.
And, oh, you're just so sad. But how convenient that he then shows up where Regina and Emma are having trouble getting this spell to work. And he cries...
Pepsi magic.
Oh, wait,
thank
yes.
you. Orion,
the Pepsi Pop yeah. product placement.
Orion Moore in the chat says, Pepsi magic.
I actually wrote that down, too.
Soda.
It's like a carnival in a can.
Fantastic.
That's the perfect Pepsi commercial.
Soda is bad for you, children.
It's bad for your teeth.
I don't drink soda.
So Henry shows up, and Regina, it's her idea to use his tear. She's like, Henry, I'm so sorry.
Quick, he's crying. Get his tear.
But she's like, people might not see you as a hero here, but in our world, you will always be a hero. We need your tear to free Merlin, to save your mom, Emma, and to get us out of here, basically. So they use this tear. Oh. Arthur shows up and is like, stop! Don't free him! I welcomed you with open arms, and this is how you treat me.
And you brought the Dark One here. We've heard it before.
And Regina's, like, all fireball happy. And she's...
I love this.
I'm like, yes!
I love it every time she... Because when she conjures up fireballs, you know she means business.
Exactly.
I mean, the last time she almost burned down a forest.
And when was the last time we legit saw Emma and Regina working together and having each other's back like this. This is what I loved. I love that Regina, no hesitation, was like, oh, you're not getting anywhere near her while we go finish this and free Merlin. So Emma's able to free Merlin. She uses both light and dark magic that were coming out of her.
That was pretty badass.
Yeah, that was a really cool sequence there. I loved that whole, like, hand oosh thing. It's a hand oosh. That's now the sound effect that I hear in my head.
Yes.
Arthur gets exactly free, oosh. And the first thing he says is, Emma, I've been waiting for you. And I got chills when he said that.
So Merlin knew Emma, because we know Merlin has prophesied Emma, and now that Emma's an adult, they finally meet again?
Again. And I know that I posed this question on YouTube last week, because I'm trying to figure out the timeline for this Merlin when he got stuck in a tree.
I believe I responded.
Yeah, I saw that. So we saw him get trapped in the tree this episode. We also saw him visit Emma in 1989 at the movie theater.
Yes.
And we also know that he prophesied to Merlin, or to Arthur, that he would be the king one day. But he had to save him from the tree. I don't understand when he did all these things and then got stuck in a tree. Or did he get stuck in a tree and his spirit visited
beforehand.
Them?
Beforehand.
It's a hard timeline to nail down, because the Blue Fairy has never seen Merlin. A lot of people have said he's been missing for years, and which would be more than 28, in my opinion, what it sounds like.
And it's hard to tell his age, too, because he also said being in a tree.
Just like everyone else. Yeah. And it's hard to tell anyone's
age. It's great on his skin, so yes. We don't know his exact age.
Yeah.
So,
we know he's free now. He is free. And he tells Arthur that he's a disappointment, which is awesome. And then he takes the spells off of Snow and Charming, and then he...
Do you think it was someone else? Sorry, this is my mind. Mm-hmm. Do you think it was someone else who appeared as Merlin to go to young Emma?
See, I'm thinking, did Merlin use his apprentice to approach Emma in disguise?
In Merlin form?
In Merlin form, or... It just doesn't add up in my head that he had time to go see her before he got... stuck before just because was. The flashbacks always say Camelot many years ago, which many years ago sounds like 50, 60 years, like 100 years ago.
And
or
also the line when they're like, the dagger was broken a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. So I saw that, picked that up. Yep.
Yeah. So I just don't know.
We don't.
So I need a timeline.
We all need a timeline. Just a point.
But Merlin is asked if he can take the darkness out of Emma and save her. And he's like, yes, of course I can. But there's a catch. Because...
There's always a catch.
So the dark magic is inside her, and it, like, grafts onto the person so deeply that he really has to get inside her to get it out. Mm-hmm. And so
you have to be willing to let her heart go.
Yes. So he asks her, Emma, are you truly ready to be free of the darkness? Yeah. And after some of the events that she went through to get him free, which was a lot of deceitful things and a lot of dark magic, maybe she's not.
So what we should be holding on to, though?
I feel that because it was already prophesied that she has both the light and darkness inside of her, that getting a taste of it's like a drug addiction, you know? You get a little taste of it, and then it's like, ooh, I like that. And then you keep going back for more and more and more, and it slowly becomes an addiction and a problem. So I feel like her testing the waters with the dark magic like she's been doing this whole time, tiptoeing in and justifying it like, oh, I'm just doing this to get us, to get Merlin free so that he can save me. Oh, I'm just doing this to get us to this point, is eventually going to turn into like, ooh, but I kind of like it, and so I'm not ready to let it go.
Do you think it's because, you know, everyone always says she's the savior and so on and so forth. Do you think if she held on to a magic, even if it's good magic or dark magic, do you think that would aid her into making her believe that she is the savior because she is powerful in that sense? Like, she won't give up magic to be the savior.
Maybe.
There might be another thing where she's holding on to something. Or is she holding on to a love? hook. You hook it for life.
I wasn't sure which love you were going with there. That's why I shot you a look. It better be Hook.
But why do you think they kept bringing up Neil tonight? They mentioned Neil a lot.
I felt that the mentions of Neil were more for Henry. And to have... Because with his date closure with Violet, you know, it's like, these are all stuff that you would go to your dad for. And a young boy, and he doesn't have his dad around. He has his two moms. But I did appreciate the Neil recognition tonight. I'm not hating on Balefire at all.
Yeah. But it wasn't just Henry. Rumpel even mentioned Neil. So we got a lot of mention of Neil tonight. And it only makes me think if he's coming back, the character, or if they're trying to round out his character and cap off his storyline. Be like, he's officially dead. He's officially gone.
I mean, they've said that. They have said that.
If they've said that, then why do you think they keep bringing it up?
I mean, I just think it's a nice nod to a character who's not around anymore. Because the character still plays a part. We talked about Regina and Daniel tonight. And that's, you know, her first love and what happened there. Neil was Emma's first love. So when talking about first loves, you have to bring up Neil. And there's going to be times when he has to get brought up. But I don't think he's coming back, and I know people are going to hate me for that. But so many other things happened in tonight's episode. Let's get back to current day Storybrooke and how Operation Mongoose is back.
It's back.
And
I kind of love this.
I did too. It was really nice to see Emma and Henry working together to find Henry's crush's runaway horse.
Nicodemus.
And
loves pumpkins. Very fitting, especially this time of the year.
Yeah, this time of year. So Henry goes to her and is like, remember when I brought you here and it was to bring back everyone's happy endings? Well, I need you to help me bring back someone's happy ending. Operation Mongoose is back.
It's in commence.
Sorry, I skipped something in my notes. Mongoose. Yeah, so as they're trying to find the horse, Emma starts asking Henry about Violet.
Oh, it's Cobra. Operation Cobra.
I wrote Mongoose on the board, but I wrote Cobra.
Thank you, everyone in chat.
Yeah, yes, I wrote Cobra in my notes. I can verify that, but I wrote Mongoose on the board.
Although Mongoose needs to come back too, you know?
Mongoose does need to come back. So we learned that Henry played Yaz, Only You for Her, which is the song that Neil played for Emma, and Neil told Henry that, you know, it works every time. They go on their exploration, and Emma's like, oh, I think I know where to start looking. I got a good spot. And ta-da! It's at Peter Pumpkin Eater's Pumpkin Patch.
I love this.
How convenient.
How convenient that was there. Has that always been there? Because they said after the first curse, it showed up. Although we haven't seen Peter.
It was pretty far outside of town. So.
And pumpkins rot. And no one was there. So how can the pumpkins be completely there? So like, this is where I suspend my disbelief. I love the show. I'm like, a little too convenient.
I don't know a lot about horses, but is it normal for them to like pumpkins?
I know they like carrots.
Yeah, I was like,
I've never owned a horse.
I don't know anything about horses. So when they're like, the horse likes pumpkins, like,
they like hay.
That's weird.
They like hay.
Hay is for horses.
Hay is for horses.
So Henry finds the horse. The horse is spooked out by Emma because she's the dark one, and Henry has to kind of come as a hero and be brave and take the pumpkin and calm down the horse, and he's like, see, Mama got it. He then rides the horse into town, which Henry forgot to mention this part, wherein he suggests having a dance for the town because the town needs some hope, because everyone from Camelot really wants to go home. They don't know how Griff
disappeared.
He disappeared, and Arthur's lying to them.
I still don't think he's dead, because he just poofed.
I mean...
But, okay, and a lot of you guys were commenting on this particular episode when Griff disappeared. Mm-hmm. They have technology. They need to use it. They have security footage. Not one of them brought that up. Be like, oh, we should check the tapes and be like, what really happened here? Because they've looked back on technology before.
Yeah, but a lot of crimes happen inside the police station here that you think, hey, the security cameras would get. But with magic being involved and tapes, I mean, in our world, tapes can be altered and edited. But, you know, especially with magic involved, I don't understand why there's not more surveillance footage used in these cases, because right. A lot of stuff happens inside those cells at the police station. It's not a very safe place to go.
I know, they need better security.
Yeah.
But granted, the security's always gone in a different realm.
Well, and why do people have the access to just walk in on a prisoner at the police station? Like, shouldn't they be locked? Like, shouldn't there be an area where, sorry guys, we're out at the moment, like the front desk area before you walk back to where people are actually held in
reception?
Cells?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not a very safe town, but it's a small town, so they get a pass. So here comes Henry riding in all valiantly on Nicodemus, saving the day at the street party, where Violet is very happy to be reunited. And so is her dad. Her dad was like, oh, yay, Violet, now you can have a fun time here. Go off and have some fun. And he's actually like, hey, that was very awesome.
Heroic?
Yes, heroic.
Heroic of you.
He wouldn't say the word awesome like I would.
But he said heroic. The fact that Henry couldn't be a hero in Camelot, he is now a hero in Storybrooke.
Yes. And that's worked
Which
out.
Which makes me question, is he really the hero that we're looking for? Not in Rumpel, but in Henry.
I think that they always underestimate Henry. They always have from the
very
beginning.
They underestimate age.
And
age is just a number of people.
Yeah, and I think that Henry can be more than just the writer. Because this is the second time I think we've heard him introduce himself as the writer. Right. And I was just kind of like, Henry, you're so much more than that.
I still want him to have magic. He was born into innately magical.
Yeah, but I mean, sometimes you get a squib every now and then, you know what I mean?
It's very true. But if he's going to be a squib, at least have him be a hero.
Yeah, well, that's why he's got the got the writer in him if he chooses to use it.
If he chooses to use it. But he broke that quill.
Yeah. Well, there's always a way to get another one. So we also have, while Henry is keeping Emma busy and away from her house, Regina, Robin Hood, and Hook are going in to explore that
Emma's house
door that Hook saw and to see what she's hiding. Well, at first they can't get in because there's a protection spell on the house, which, duh.
Of course it is.
Of course.
Yeah, get into it.
Yeah, and then they have to figure out who Emma would allow in. Clearly Henry. So Regina gets Henry's scarf. They used that to open the door. Did I say Belle was there, too? I forgot to say Belle was there, too.
She was part of it.
They are making her useful this season. So they all go in the house. They go downstairs, and they see that Excalibur is in the stone. And they're like, so this is what she's hiding. And then this is the first time in Storybrooke that they're seeing that Excalibur has the same design as the dagger. And that clearly there's a correlation between the two. So
I loved how they quickly found that out.
Yes.
Instead of taking forever.
Yes.
They're too smart for that.
So they go to Arthur, of all places to go, to ask him some questions about his sword Excalibur.
Before that, I love how Regina was like, hold up, Hook. There might be a booby trap on that. It's fantastic.
She does care.
She does care. This felt very Harry Potter, being like, before you do that, there's a lot of magical protections around this.
Around this. Let's get back.
They got to the sword very fast, though. It's like, you think there'd be, like, a magical barrier on the door before they went in.
Well, I mean, she had some locks on it, but I guess they just picked those. Regina probably just gave a wave of the hand to get those out of the way.
Yeah, because she's amazing, so.
And one other thing that happened that I want to talk about real quick is we saw Emma go into her garage of dream catchers.
Yes.
For a minute there. That's after she is confronted by someone. Oh, after Merida tried to, like, confront her about everything. And mm-hmm. Emma starts crying when she's in there. Did we ever see Rumpel as the Dark One cry?
As the Dark One, no. But again, I think this still goes off that Emma still has light in her. She still has remorse and feelings and humanity. And the fact that she reflecting on what she did, and we know it was very dark, pulling out, I don't want to jump too ahead, but pulling out Violet's heart. I think it was her just reflecting, like, how dark she went, and she feels bad in that sense. So, again, maybe the light in humanity and her working.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to point out this part before I actually forgot to say it, is because I don't, like, we've never seen someone who is the dark one close themselves off and go have a moment of actual feelings behind closed doors. Like, we've never seen Rumpel, oh my god, I did a terrible thing, let me cry about it, and then put on my happy face and go outside again. And so seeing her actually have feelings about something still means that there's a little bit of the Emma that we know in there, and maybe we'll find out the rest of the story, and maybe she actually has a legit good reason for taking everyone's memories away and bringing them back here.
Which we still haven't figured out yet.
So
that'll be another...
Yeah, and speaking of dream catchers, Regina and Hook and Belle and Robin Hood find a dream catcher on Emma's kitchen table.
Conveniently placed.
Conveniently just sitting there.
There's a lot of things that was like, too easy, too easy.
Well, Emma needs to be smarter that even though
she put a leave it in a box, be like, hey, here's, I know you're coming. Look.
But, I mean, I guess she put a protection spell. She thought maybe people weren't going to get in there, but that's a whole other story about, like, duh, they're going to find a way to get in there. So
Nicholas Kelly says, Rumpel cried when Neil died, but when Belle kicked him out and Henry nearly dying. But wasn't he in Rumpel form? Not in gold form. Or maybe he was in gold form, not in Rumpel form.
Yeah. Have to look into that.
I gotta refresh my memory.
So when Regina gets back home, they look at the dream catcher and she's like, these can be used, like, this could tell us how Emma took our memories away, because these can be used for that as well. So they look at the memory that's in there and they watch as Emma, back in Camelot, finds Violet before she goes to meet up with Henry that night, takes her heart and is like, I'm sorry, I need you to break my son's heart tonight,
she
because
ripped
I need
that heart out.
I need the tears of lost love. I promise you, you will get this back, though.
So the question is, where is Violet's heart now? Did she actually return it like she promised, or does she still have it?
That's a very good question.
That is my... Yes.
That's my biggest question.
Like, I don't know, because the audience doesn't know if she still has it.
Yeah, and I think that's a big question on Henry's mind.
I mean, she still has Meredith's heart, so...
Yeah, I mean, Henry sees this whole thing after he just spent the day with her. They had a great time. She helped him get to Violet, which we then... Regina kind of questions her, and it's like, hey, you probably are the one who let the horse go, because you're trying to... You knew this would happen, and you knew you had something to make up for.
And this was very calculated. Just like what Rumpel would always do. Always think like 5 steps ahead. And it seems way too calculated for Emma.
Yeah.
Like, she purposely planned that out.
And she let slip that she had no choice because they wouldn't have freed Merlin without it. And then that's the first time Regina's like, we freed Merlin?
What?
And I don't know, it just seems kind of off book for Emma to slip and let something as big as that out the cat out the bag if she did not have a specific purpose for it. And I mean, one of the things that Rumpel tells her in the first scene with them.
Do you think that Emma would really crush the heart, though? A lot of people are asking in the chat.
I don't think she's crushed the heart, because you still see her having feelings and stuff. So I don't think she's fully dark. So I don't think she would have crushed a heart.
I don't think so either. And a lot of people think that Emma's going to crush Violet's heart. You know, just now knowing that Emma's going to crush a heart. People are speculating it's Violet. I don't think so. I mean, after she ripped it out, I think that was enough.
Yeah. I feel like it's not someone whose heart we've already seen her take.
Yeah. Maybe it's got to be probably an Arthurian character.
It's Merlin's heart. That could be.
Why would she kill Merlin?
I don't know. Because he wants
Merlin's
to take the darkness
good.
Out of her and she doesn't want it.
If anybody, she should crush Arthur's heart.
I mean, yeah. I don't think anyone
end
would
this
complain.
Whole thing right now.
Don't think anyone would complain if
Because I still don't trust Arthur. Even though we now know he's kind of... he's still, in a way, still very shady in Storybrooke. But he's still
withholding information from everyone in Storybrooke. Yeah,
he's still working with everybody, but not telling everything.
And if he doesn't know that they freed Merlin back in Camelot before they came here, then his whole mindset is still that of, I need to kill Merlin.
These guys are against me.
Yeah, these guys are against me.
But I gotta work with them to kill Merlin.
To get back Excalibur now and to reunite the dagger with the sword so that he has a weapon that can snuff out the darkness.
Right. And my question is, a couple episodes ago, we saw David and Arthur go on this humongous quest, both in Camelot and in Storybrooke, to find the Crimson Peak, and not once did... Crimson Rose. I just watched Crimson Peak movie. All these crimsons. The Crimson Crown?
Mm-hmm.
Crimson something. The Mushroom. And they didn't use it. But what was all that for? If they're still not going to use it to communicate with Merlin. Because, again, I think it was just like, am I figuring out, we can use this instead.
Yeah.
But what was the whole point?
Maybe we'll find out.
To get Arthur's trust? I don't know.
In 2 more weeks.
I just wanted to see them actually use the Crimson Crown thing.
Which we might see later.
I don't think so.
No.
Maybe they'll use it to get the... Who's the tree? Sneezy?
Yes.
Dopey. Dopey's the tree. Dopey. Maybe they'll use it to get Dopey out. Because who's Dopey's true love? Has he... broken his heart?
I don't know if it would work the same because it's because he crossed the line that...
Maybe. I mean, or they can use it to help communicate with Dopey.
Yeah. Hopefully they do because that was the whole purpose. And then we also had Merida and Rumple, who... Merida has been tasked with the difficult job of training Rumple to be a hero. Because Emma needs him to pull the sword from the stone, and he is the only person with the purest heart right now who can get it for him. For her, sorry. But before he goes off, he gives her some sound advice. He says that, yes, his plans were always hidden, but his reasons were not. He did everything because he justified it by he was trying to protect his son,
mm-hmm.
which we saw Emma do tonight because she claims that the reason she took Violet's heart was to save everyone, protect Henry, blah, blah, blah.
I find that hard to believe, but yeah, sure.
Yes, and he also says that the more you justify what you're doing, the more you push them away, meaning her family and loved ones, and that you're going to lose the ones you love the most unless you stop. She ain't hearing none of this. She's like, Merida, you need to go to the woods, train him, bring him back to me. Merida's like, you're dark and I'm gonna go for my heart. And Emma's like, ooh, try me. She gives her that mom stare and is like, girl, I got your heart in my hand, don't try me right now.
I wouldn't test her either.
I wouldn't have tried.
But okay, did you like how kind of crazy dark Merida went?
Yeah,
it's like, okay girl, calm down.
I
get it. I like, in a way, I like her steps on how to finally push and find out what Rumple's weakness is, kind of using that against him in a good way, but also in a very dark, pushy way.
It is, but I mean, it's not just fight his
for
life
who
on,
you love.
Yeah, it's not just his life on the line either. It's hers too. Yes. If she doesn't perform and get him to the point that Emma expects him to be, then Emma's gonna crush her heart.
Into the woods. Yes. Thank you, Valentine Gutierrez Jr. Into the woods. I just watched that movie again. But yes.
Yes,
on.
Into the woods. They go. But it works. Finally, she gets a little bit of something out of him, and it's that fire of fighting for his love, which is something he wasn't ever able to do with his wife. He wasn't able to stand up for her, but he's able to man up and stand up for Belle and fight for her. So hopefully Merida has a little bit of an easier time with him now.
Or at least Rumple's actually trying now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was just that enough of a spark to get him motivated.
It was.
Because, I mean, we see Belle kind of still pining for Rumple, and Rumple always heartbroken now. Now that he's just kind of emasculated in a way.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing he says is, I need to go see Belle, just let me go.
Yeah. stripped down from his magic and just, like, it's nice to see a very vulnerable Rumple right now.
Yeah.
And to see him actually physically fight for, and metaphorically fight for someone and something he lost. Good. He's fighting in a good way.
And please forgive this next question, but didn't the chipped teacup break?
Shatter.
So how is it back?
Maybe he restored it with magic.
Possibly.
Or was it in a dream that he dreamt at it? No, it did break at one point.
It did break at one point, but, you know, so many other things happen in flashbacks and flash forwards. So maybe I'm just forgetting when it came back. but I love that he's fighting, and hopefully he can be the man that Emma needs him to be.
Oh, right. sorry, I'm reading. BG Titan Avatar said, Merida doesn't have a heart right now.
She doesn't, and she's been directly ordered by Emma to do whatever's necessary. I mean,
like, she has to do whatever.
But even before she was missing her heart, the girl's got a feisty attitude and spunk. Like,
I wouldn't mess with her.
Yeah, I mean, and she was raised by her father and, you know, with her brothers and stuff. And her dad said, you know, you've got to find the person's weakness and find what they're willing to fight for, and that will bring out the best fighter in them. And it's actually a technique that works.
I'm gonna butcher this. Arcelenza 1D said he fixed it a long time ago. Being the cup.
Thank you.
Restored.
I told you it might have been a stupid question.
Hey, Rumple put it back together in season 2. Yeah. Wow, that was such a long time ago.
Guys, we're in season 5. This is crazy. All right. So, yeah. Marissa, is there anything else that you want to bring up?
I love the line when Regina's facing Emma on the porch. So many good scenes go down on a porch. But she's like, if I'm the one on the moral high ground, then you have fallen way too far. Ooh. Ooh. So good. And I was like, yes, Regina, throw it in her face. Don't have Emma be like her mother. Don't be like Cora, you know? It's just like, and I love how Regina's just using this, be like, uh-uh, girl. You're in the wrong. I'm in the right. Oh, so good. I love it. Sorry, I love Regina. Okay.
We all know. All right, let's get into some predictions for next week, then.
Yes.
And now, you're after Buzz TV predictions.
Y'all, I don't even know what that preview was. There was a giant bear. There was, like, all I really paid attention to was the giant bear. I was like, why makes is there a bear?
No. Makes me think Merida's mother.
Yeah, makes me think of that. But then I didn't see Merida standing around, so I was like, did Merida turn herself into a bear to challenge him?
Or maybe Merida comes back and saves Rumple from the bear. Or Rumple saves himself. But it's very convenient that it's a bear.
Yeah.
Out of any other characters and creatures that they can have, and animals that they can have in the show, it's a bear.
It's a bear.
So makes me really think it's Merida's mother.
Yeah. I don't know if I really have any predictions. I think I kind of threw them out throughout the episode. I think that my prediction will be this. I predict that the heart Emma crushes will be Merlin's.
Oh,
I'm not saying I want it to be that. I'm just saying I'm predicting that it might possibly be that she crushes Merlin's heart because everyone's focus on Violet and people who are close to her, but why not the guy who predicted kind of her fate and still let her fall into the darkness?
Okay. I would say Emma's gonna crush Arthur's heart, because that dude needs to go. he's trouble. And I think maybe to, like, cap out the Camelot storyline, maybe around, you know, the mid-season finale, that she'll crush Arthur's heart. Again, because he's an adult. She's not going to crush a teenager girl's heart, so, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Arthur's also a big baddie, too.
He is.
We can't forget that.
All right, well, guys, make sure you let us know what you think is going to happen on the show. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you for everyone in the YouTube live chat.
Thank you, all you guys. Just quick shout-outs to Boo69Bees, Dylan Zanelli, Valentin Gutierrez, Christina Barker, Orion Moore. All you guys are amazing. Yes.
And where can they follow you and find you to talk more out all week?
You can follow me, shipping everybody, especially that luck me, At Serafini TV on Twitter. You know, I'll spell that because I don't think a lot of people actually know how to spell Serafini. It's S-E-R-A-F-I-N-I TV, Serafini TV.
And you can follow me on Twitter at the Tiana Hobson, and I will be talking all about my love of Hook and hookers and Hooker for Life. and you make sure you check out all the shows that AfterBuzz TV has to offer at AfterBuzzTV.com on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Make sure you go to iTunes, give us a like, leave us a comment, and continue to send us the love. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.